Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to be straight. I know a lot of you do. You know, I'm kind of interested in looking for somebody that would like to help me out designing my web page. You know, make it kind of look good and be more accessible from the internet. I try to do the best I can with it, and you know, you can see the website there, it's gaysforjesus.com. And see your phone number, address, and everything. Glad to hear from you. Anytime. Love your comments. You know, time's running out, and we're just about at the point where Jesus is going to return. But there's lots of things that is involved in our faith in Jesus Christ. And one of them is, you know, Satan's a counterfeiter. There's deception in the world. History, as we generally know it from learning in school, is not exactly the way that we're taught. There is a real enemy of the church. This idea we have about Satan is kind of funny in a way if it wasn't so serious. You see, Satan's a liar. So, what do we have? We have disinformation and cover-up. He's really good at that. So he gets the church really busy looking for a demon behind every bush, casting out demons. You know, Tom, if there were really a demon in a person, the demon would come out. The worst of demons may require fasting and prayer, you know, like Jesus said, because you're unbelief. If you've got belief, the worst demons can come out just as easily as when Jesus said, get out of that person. And then he made the comment that because of your unbelief or your doubt or whatever, you know, you need to fast and prayer. And then you can cast out the demon. But you want to know something? If you're going to go around and claim that you can cast out demons or rebuke various things in the spirit world, and so forth, then you better understand that what you are doing and who you're doing it to is really a demon or a spirit of some sort, because if it is not, then you're wasting your breath and you're looking like a fool. So you ought to do your homework before you decide to play with Satan, because Satan did his homework. He's experienced. You know, he had all that time in the garden. Then he had 1,000 years to mess up mankind so that only one family could be saved. And then he started all over. And he started all over almost immediately. We hear, when we read about when the ark landed on Mount Ararat, the world re-began as it was, you know. Lot's sons and their wives went out and populated the world. But in one verse, we have indication that one of his sons sinned. You know, he saw his father's nakedness or something, you know. And so this was a pretty bad thing. And even though, you know, there's not very much indication of how bad or the consequences of it or something like that, and this is one of these type of places where you could probably play some sort of a game. You know, some things you can't play games with. You know, we hear this evolution. They just now, in the documentary I saw, you know, the most updated, the highest technology to show that there is apes and the tree of how, and now they know that Lucy was on a branch that died out. And so actually, the human race was on a branch. And see, when I put my hand there, you saw a little flash on there because it blocked the remote for the camera there. Anyway, now they have doubled the age. You know, let's add 3 million years to mankind, sort of like what we recognize would be mankind as it was, where we can actually trace, if it were possible, back to so-and-so. Now, they've added 3 million years to Lucy by going, by finding a couple of bones. Now they say date to 6 million BC. So now they have to rethink their whole life, you know, about evolution and everything, because now we're 3 million years older when we stood upright and so forth. The problem is, what happened, you know, 6 million years ago, suddenly we're standing upright? It must took a little while to get to standing upright, so they haven't gotten to the end of the story yet. However, they do put they hold a couple of bone here, and they're guessing because the groove over here has this tendon that goes across at the muscle, and that because the muscle is in this fashion on this the thigh bone, that means the hip had to be arranged in a certain way, so therefore he had to be, or those bones had to be standing up and walking, sort of like us today. And now they're proving, you know, here we are, this bone they found, and I guess there's some teeth there, is more like us today, while Lucy's is bigger and kind of very different than ours. But now they found somebody much older, 3 million years old. And so now they put this together story out of these couple of bones and the teeth or two. The whole thing about it, you know, this groove means stood upright. And so they had to, they put a whole story about the life of this person. You know, what do you got in a bone? Yeah, you can probably figure out kind of food they ate, and you can find out they had a disease. You can find it, you know, that tendon does go that way, and people that walk, or animals that are biped, like a human, would have this kind of groove in the bone for that little tendon muscle thing. So, you know, we get this idea that evolution is much older now. So, how easy it is to do. Well, the Bible says there could be some evolution involved, because simply those are the kinds of things that kind of go on when you're interbreeding. You're going to have, you know, like, was it Jacob, or, you know, he wanted to get rich quick, and so he breeded spotted goats with non-spotted goats, and made a deal with the father of the person he wanted to marry, and that he can get all the spotted goats. The father, of course, thinks that was not too many spotted goats, but Jacob already knew a little bit about DNA, so he got rich quick. And didn't do him any good, because he had to first marry the ugly daughter. Had to work another 7 years to get the one he wanted. But, you know, so that's kind of an interesting little thing, that now that in evolution theories, you got to jump another 3 million years and then make a million tons of guesswork about every single thing that person ever did. But if you get back to the Bible and say that, well, there's the flood, and there comes Moses, Noah, and there was his son, caught him there. And so this son, we could probably guess a lot of things about it, because we have a little bit more things. We got rumors, we got hand-me-down hearsay, we got stories of the local areas, other writings and stuff like that, and a few things that gives us a notion of some of the things that really were taking place. We do know they look just like us. We do know the kind of food they ate and everything. Because, you know, this is all written history now. So anyway, that son that sinned very well could have been the first Mason. I know a lot of you say, well, Masons didn't exist to, what, Solomon's day? Well, Masons existed by whatever name since the flood. At least if you listen to Masons, when you get to the one and where you can get to talking to them and finding out what the really thing is and learning what they really believe in and they're really planning and stuff, they trace their roots to the flood. And there's only one person that kind of sinned and maybe was in the black sheep of the family, and he kind of, you know, thought, well, probably God's forsaken him, and maybe he ought to, you know, wasn't so bad after all. Memories of the old days back in, before the flood. However, my personal idea of gathering together all this kind of information, that son saw the flood. He built the boat. But his son didn't. So Noah's son just knew things from stories being told by their parents and granddad there. And they saw how not very well treated their father was. Probably, this part's guessing, but it's at least a good guess, you know, like on Star Trek, you know, when the doctor told Spock, you know, that Jim really, Captain Kirk really thought that Spock's guess is better than any other person's facts. So Spock said, well, I'll make it my best guess. Well, we can make our best guess and probably be close to right, or at least in the general area, better than trying to guess what 6 million-year-old thigh bone says. So it's probably more likely the son of Noah's son that finally decided, you know, this ain't good. We all heard the story. We all know. We know all the things that happened 1,000 years before. And it could be that, you know, this stuff was placed. There were stories. It said, you know, this library here, and so forth. Blood didn't hurt it. We got all these kind of stuff we go to and hear about and call them whatever you want, conspiracy theories or whatever. But the Masons believe it. It doesn't matter. We believe it. See, they believe it, and they're making things happen. And so you can imagine then that the Bible says there is an instant that something happened which could provoke somebody to decide to rebel against God. We already know that people do this thing, you know. After all, only Noah and his family came out of the flood alive. So everybody else kind of rebelled against God, didn't they? So mankind does do these kinds of things. And so no doubt right away, since it's, you know, only the father saw the flood, and the son may see some of the damage done by the flood, because that probably lasted quite a while before it started fading away. The point here is, your real enemy, if we're talking about humankind, and what Satan really is doing, everything else is a cover-up. Then it started just after the flood, and the secrets of before the flood were then passed down. Ways to keep this secret accurate was developed. Even the constellations, you know, how did the constellations get their name and why? And why are there myths behind constellations? You know, we look at the star and say, well, there's Orion, there's the Big Dipper, and so there's lots of constellations up there, and they all got some sort of story behind it. Well, these kind of, at least some of them, if not most of them, depending on the reason for it, because sometimes now today somebody looks up, well, there's a comet, going to say Halley's Comet. Well, we know there's no myth around all that kind of stuff. They might be, well, the guy's name was Halley, so, you know. So, in modern times, in recent times, you know, we just name stuff because it's an interesting name, or it reflects something that has an interesting story. But back in those days, when they were naming constellations and stuff, they were named by people that were the smart ones, the scientists and the people in the know. In other words, the secret societies of those days, 5,000 years ago. And they began, of course, you know, there was no need then, so it took a few thousand years before some of the constellations really were named. So anyway, I got that phone call there. But so the secret societies began to develop their ways to keep in memory, to hand down, because, you know, they knew some things. I mean, talk about people that know some things. These people knew things. And over the thousand years, you know, let's see, what they wanted to do, they set their goals to reestablish the days of Noah. They think it's like a, you know, this kind of Atlantis thing. So they want to create new Atlantis. That's questions. We kind of know what new Atlantis is, don't we? We know it's Antichrist's kingdom. And so when you're looking at to rebuke or cast out demons, you got to know some of the story. Back in Jesus' day, you didn't really need a whole lot of knowledge, because Satan did his thing pretty openly, because you know what? He's pretty smart. He kind of got a mischief, deceptive attitude about himself. And he wants to trick you. And he got this idea it's going to take thousands of years. He's no hurry. He's going to do it right, because he knows how. He knows something about human nature. He's already been tricking them for quite a while. He's got a lot of practice. And after all, today he's got 5,000 years practice. And he did a pretty good job even that first 1,000 years before that 5,000 years began, because we're now in the 6,000th year. And so he's out there planning things. First of all, you've got to have some legitimacy to demon casting out. Demons do get cast out. Somebody's possessed by a demon, you can cast them out. And this thing is a absolute fact. And people are got demons simply to help cover up the mess. Satan don't care who gets messed up. That's this person or something, if he's got full command. You know, he doesn't really got full command. Did you know that? Demons are out there, and some of them are pretty powerful, and some of them, they ain't demons for nothing. Just like we got a lot of movies, and we got this facts and history and all kinds of stuff telling us about different mobsters and crime and all that. And we find out that often the case, at least it makes pretty good movies, is that there's problems within the crime scene, the crime mob, as it were, that they would always fight for power, and they would, trick each other and try to take, well, the humans are out, you know, these people aren't doing this kind of stuff because of something new. And the demons are always picking and fighting and amongst themselves. Even the good people fight. Look at you Christians out there. Can't even agree on anything, hardly at all. If you could agree, you could move mountains. You could do all kinds of stuff. You can agree together. But most of you can't hardly agree together on hardly anything these days, it seems. And so, Satan was developing a plan. Just like he developed a plan how to get a Bible in your hands in the time of the last days. Because that's the only time that any kind of reading material can trick you. Did you know your modern versions would be perfectly good 100 years ago? 70 years ago? But you want to know something? Today, it ain't good, because now what it is doing to you is preparing you. Not that there's any extra magic to it, because it was done 2,000 years ago. The thought in writing it the way so that when it's translated, become the official Bible of the Church of England back in 1880, Westcott and Holmcourt did that. You should learn about them. They're pretty evil people in lots of ways. They're cultists, and they started some of the most highest secret society clubs. There are. You've got to be a member if you want to be a top-notch person in Antichrist kingdom. And so, the demons are doing what they do, getting possessed. What the Bible is, got modern translations, is deceiving you, tricking you. Sounds like Jesus. So if you die, you still believe in Jesus. So as long as you still have your faith in Jesus, it doesn't have any matter, you know. You're going to be messed up in your mind on a lot of issues, but you get cleaned up when you die. That's a done deal. But it's when you're alive, and Jesus is about to return. You're alive you're still alive when the rapture takes place. This is the time period, about 1260 days, where the deceptions are going to get you. The conditioning that the new modern versions give you, because you read it, and you're conditioned. Your brain taking this all in, and it's conditioned, whether you like it or not. No matter what you are believing or saying, you're writing something into your brain, and it's deception. It's trickery. It's going to make you really consider that man over there, Antichrist, is Jesus after all. If you read the King James Version, you'd be reminded on and on and on, Jesus is the Christ. Not so in modern versions. The only reminder you have is your memory that Jesus is the Christ. And you claim that what modern Bible is, and you can go to it and say, well, see. No, you can't go see. You can do see. And you're running out of see. You compare verse to verse to King James, and you can see that King James is all it seems to want to do is confirm that Jesus is the Christ. And that you're going to live forever with him and under the kind of conditions that we remember when we got saved. And some of the reasons we got saved, we have that in memory, but remember, we're writing in our brain a new set of rules. And so when deceptions come, these deceptions are going to say, looky here. See? It wasn't this way at all. And you say, yeah, you know, it's sort of right because it's conditioned. All of a sudden, what is written in your mind will begin to come out because the deceptions are designed for the conditioning of the new modern version Bibles. Not all the time. So Satan is going to go along because, you know, it was the Masons that got this Satan kind of cast every demon behind every bush out, you know, and everything is that they don't like the demon or something, you know, this kind of thing. You're not really exactly like that, but simply, so you're busy out thinking Satan's going to look like Satan instead of looking like a sheep or a wolf in lion's clothing. So you're looking at trying to find something really ugly and nasty looking when they're all real beautiful and wonderful and preaching Jesus, it sounds. And so you're deceived. Because his real work is preparing a group of people so you won't cast out demons out of them because they won't have them. They're doing this on their own. They're the Masons. They're the name that Mason name covers the secret society that's going to bring in the last days that is planning it. And they've been hard at work. So if you're going to be casting out demons, do your homework, find out there's a real demon there. And know that the real enemy aren't all these kind of demon stuff out here, but it's these people that look well and nice and good and have good information to give you and preaching the best type of word you ever thought you heard. They're deceiving you. You're ready. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me my sins and come into my life. I believe God rose you on the third day. Simple prayer gets you saved. Now read the King James Version.